This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov. We were looking at this photograph, which really epitomizes, a picture tells a thousand words. It's a photograph that was taken by the Haredi photojournalist Chaim Goldberg, who works for Kikar HaShabbat. Mm-hmm. And it was taken of incoming IDF Chief of General Staff, Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi, and of his wife Sharon, when he visited the Kotel after he was appointed to his new position. And the picture is just filled with warmth and emotion, and just one of the greatest pictures I've seen. It shows Herzi Halevi looking to his left towards the mechitza, towards the divide between the women's section and the men's section at the Kotel. And looking over the mechitza is his wife, Sharon. And she is looking at him with such love and respect. Amazing. It's just a picture that captures a moment in time.
Yeah.
People who haven't seen this picture, I really suggest you go online and find it, because we almost feel like if we're putting our security in his hands, and that's who's standing by his side, we're in a good place.
Incredible. Wow. Certainly we'll have a look out for that. That is really, really remarkable. Anthony, the Shas party continues to ratchet up the pressure ahead of the Supreme Court's decision on the validity of the appointment of Ariel Dery as a government minister. So what is the latest on this?
So this was a comment that was made by the Shas party member of Knesset, Avram Bezalel, who said during an interview on TV that he thought that the High Court would be shooting itself not in the foot but in the head if it rules to disqualify the Shas chairman, the Shas leader, Ariel Dery, in his appointment as Minister of Interior and Minister of Health. He then kind of regretted the statement, and he said that they were not understood properly, and he was regretful about making the statement. But there's clearly an attempt to pressurize the High Court of Justice ahead of that decision that it's due to deliver next week sometime about the appointment of Ariel Dery to the government. In the meantime, what's quite fascinating is that the law surrounding these legal reforms has now been put out into the public domain by the Knesset Committee, the Knesset Justice Committee. And the law that's being put out, or at least the current text of the law, is a very, very watered down version of what Yariv Levine announced a couple of weeks ago. So what he said and the current text of the law that's being proposed are not the same things. And for example, just one example of what the text says, whereas Yariv Levine a few weeks ago said that only the majority of a full bench of the High Court of Justice will be allowed to set aside a law that has been passed by the Knesset. Now in the text, it says the majority decision of any bench, not necessarily requiring the full bench of the High Court of Justice. So that's just one example of how the text that we are seeing now is actually backtracking from what was really quite a dramatic announcement. And we all remember that that announcement took place in the days or in the, on the day preceding the start of the trial of Ariel Dery by the High Court of Justice. So I think that what we saw Yariv Levine putting out there might have been a little bit about saying what he thought his electorate wanted to hear. and also about potentially trying to influence the court as it begins to consider this matter of Arya Deri. But it seems as if the actual law, whenever it is passed, and I'm sure that there will be something that will be passed in order to justify the legal reform platform that the government has put out there. But I suspect that what we will ultimately see will be a much, much watered down version, a much diluted version of some of those things that Yariv Levin announced a few weeks ago. I think we will, most many of us will be relieved that it is watered down, perhaps slightly disappointed that it's even passed at all. But I can't see how the proposals that he made a few weeks ago are the same ones that will ultimately be passed through the Knesset. I think it'll be very much changed, and it'll be interesting to see how much it is changed. And it's interesting that these changes are not really being heralded, not being announced very, very publicly, even though it was the first item on the news radio this morning. But yet, when you look in the newspapers this morning, there seems to be almost nothing at all said about it, which is a little strange. Mm. One of the other things that was on the radio news this morning was the fact that the Attorney General has reminded the Prime Minister that he has certain restrictions that have been placed upon him in terms of his involvement in some of the legal proceedings, such as getting involved in the course of certain laws that might be passed through the Knesset, or perhaps more importantly, the committee for the appointment of judges in Israel, and the fact that the Prime Minister is currently not allowed to participate in any of those actions because he has a conflict of interest clause that's been placed upon him when he was previously Prime Minister and the legal case was initiated against him. At that stage, he was prevented from taking part in certain legal processes that would that Prime Minister would ordinarily be involved with because of this conflict of interest. And the Attorney General has said to him that even though those restrictions were placed on him in his previous term as Prime Minister, they are still in effect, and he is still prohibited from participating in certain of those actions in order to avoid any conflict of interest that might arise as a result of that.
That said, even though these things might be watered down, the negativity around the new government from many parts of Israeli society is quite significant, and one that I'm not sure that I've seen before.
I think that's true. I think this is the first time that I can recall that such protests have sprung up so soon after the appointment of the new government. The other thing which is noticeable is that there were, for example, representatives from the American political system in Israel this week, from Congress, and some of those members of Congress specifically refused to meet with Bezalel Smotrich and Itamar Ben-Gvir as part of the work that they were doing to meet government officials. So that's also a highly unusual situation when people would specifically say, I don't want to meet with certain members of the government. And these are not just junior minister members of the government. This is the Minister of Finance. This is the Minister of Internal Security. These are quite senior people and quite influential and significant people within the government. So certainly from the outside, there's been a certain reaction. And within Israel as well, you do feel that the opposition group has been mobilized very, very early in the term of the current government in order to protest against these actions. So certainly, and also interestingly, the High Court itself, there has been a meeting held between the President of the High Court, Esther Hayut, and the Minister of Justice. Apparently the issue of the legal reforms was not specifically discussed, although it was clearly one of the elephants in the room as they held their meeting to talk about various things. They tried to send some sort of a message of cooperation, but clearly there is lack of cooperation at the moment between the two of them. So there are lots and lots of issues that are being caused by the proposal of these legal reforms. And so early on, I mean, the announcement came very, very early into the life of the government. They really were mobilized very quickly, and that caught me a little bit by surprise. Mm.
What concerns me is the impact that it is having on support for Israel outside of Israel through diaspora Jewry. And I see a lot of the groups that I'm on there's a tremendous amount of confusion as to you know, how to manage this. And my worry is that the louder the opposition and the more dramatic in a way that the opposition within Israel is talking, the more it actually does undermine support for Israel from diaspora Jews who are following this. Because, you know, if you adopt very, very aggressive and dramatic language, that becomes part of the dialogue, and it is a concern for me that I'm not sure that is being recognized.
I agree with that, and for me it opens up a much greater discussion about how diaspora Jewry should or should not get involved in Israeli politics and how that should influence their support for Israel. And of course, because I'm talking to you and I'm hoping that there will be listeners in the local community who will be listening, I very much welcome the involvement of diaspora Jewry in Israeli political issues, taking an interest in it and potentially even taking a view. The question is, how far does that go in terms of influencing how you see Israel as a country, how you see Israel as a representative of the Jewish people in the world, how you see Israel on the international stage? How far do these local political issues go in influencing the way that you may support or not support Israel? Mm-hmm. And how far does this go in terms of potentially building anti-Semitism, promoting anti-Semitism around the world? These are questions which I think a lot about, and of course I would welcome feedback from people living in the diaspora as to how they think about these issues.
Well, yeah, on a personal level, nothing irritates me more than somebody telling me that I can't have a view, because of course I will have a view, and it's generally when someone tells you that, and we are told that fairly often, that, well, you don't live in Israel, therefore you can't express a view on that. When somebody tells me that, it really means that they have no argument to the view or to that discussion, and it's really just trying to discredit the person who holds such a view. So
I think the dialogue is important, and I certainly encourage people to hold views and to express those views and to have the dialogue. Everybody has a view, and if you're a good Jew, at least two or three views on every issue. We do want to promote the dialogue. I think the question, though, goes a little bit further and deeper than that, which is, and how does that affect, you know, what you thought about Israel yesterday or the day before? And, you know, bearing in mind that the opinions in Israel are currently split down the middle. And so to the extent that you might be supporting one view, you're also, which might be a 50% held view, you're also negating the other 50% of the people. So when you look at Israel as a whole, you can't support all the people all the time. You can't even support some of the people some of the time. And so, again, just how does that affect the way that you see the country and the way that it operates? I mean, it's an interesting question. I don't propose that we try to answer it right now, but it's just something that I want to park out there for people to think about.
And I'm sure we will continue talking about that. Israel's Central Bureau of Statistics has published information about abortions in Israel. So what are these statistics in this regard?
First of all, I was kind of surprised even to read about this, because I didn't think that, you know, this was a piece of information that they would necessarily want to publish. But there we go. The information that I read relates to 2021, so it's not quite up to date. It's a year in arrears, but I think it paints a very, very fascinating picture. I think the first thing which was a little surprising for me, because I didn't know what to expect, was that the Health Ministry's Pregnancy Termination Committee received in 2021 16,591 requests to terminate pregnancies, which translates to 7.7 out of every 1,000 Israeli women between the ages of 15 and 49 applied for an abortion during the year. In very, very fascinating statistic. Yeah. And it's split between Jews and Arabs, where in the Jewish community, the numbers are higher. It is around 8 per thousand in the Jewish community, 8.1, and around 6 per thousand amongst the Arab community. So still quite significant numbers coming from the Arab community. The other thing which is interesting to note is that the rules, the structure around whether or not you're entitled to apply for an abortion and receive one, is that there's certain rules that are laid down. And these are the rules: that the woman should be either under the age of 18 or 40 years and older. Mm-hmm. And these are either or. In other words, they don't all have to apply. It's either, any one of these.
That would be difficult.
That the woman is either under 18 or over, or 40 and over. The pregnancy is the result of a relationship that is either prohibited by law, that is incest, or that is extramarital relations. Another part is that the child may suffer from physical or mental disabilities. And finally, that the pregnancy may endanger the life of the woman or cause physical or mental harm. Those are valid reasons to apply for and to be granted an abortion in Israel. And apparently during 2021, 99.5% of the applications were granted. Those people who applied were granted. Mm-hmm. So in the most part, people who applied got their permission. And out of those who got permission, something like 95% actually went through and had the abortion. So quite high numbers, and a significant increase was noted in 2020, which is attributed somehow to the pandemic, suddenly people wanting to have abortions for one reason or another more than before. That was a huge increase. And in 2021, that increase seems to have been maintained, that it was almost the same number from year to year. So some quite interesting things which I wasn't aware of, and I wondered whether listeners out there might be interested to hear the same.
Absolutely right. It is, as you say, interesting that this was even a thing, but fascinating to hear it nevertheless. Anthony Rye, thank you as always. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.